Your Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9, very simple message tonight, actually. Afternoon, whatever. I'm going to say tonight a lot, okay? You know what I mean. It's the PM. Judges chapter 9, if you wouldn't mind, when you find your place to stand, maybe do a couple jumping jacks. All right, if blood flowing, maybe don't actually do that. I mean, some of you are, you need to be careful. All right. Judges chapter 9. I remind you at this point, Gideon has died, passed on, and his son Abimelech has rose to power, and they made him king in Shechem. All right? They made him king. That wasn't God's plan. In fact, Abimelech was born of a concubine. And so Gideon made some bad decisions, and it has passed on through Abimelech and his rule and his reign, and Israel himself has gone their own way. And right there in Shechem, which is God's city, where the tabernacle is, right by the pillar where God has told them, you follow me and I'll bless, you go your own way, not going to work out. That's what it says on the pillar. If you look at verse 6, well, right before our message. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Millo, and went and made Abimelech king. Not God's plan. By the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. That pillar is that reminder to Israel that God's way is best. And so really, right to God's face, they've decided blatantly to follow their own path. Okay? In that process, to get Abimelech to be king, they killed the 70 sons of Gideon. Alright? They killed the 70 sons of Gideon. But one survived. He got out of there. His name was Jotham. And so verse 7, Jotham comes back around. And I'll explain all this again in a second. Verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, They told Jotham that they went ahead and crowned Abimelech king. He went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. Now he tells this story, this parable, okay, metaphor. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Okay, so it's kind of a weird premise. But the trees want a king. Okay? I know you might be a little tired, and did he just really say what I think? Yeah, that's the story. The trees, you know, leaves, tree. They want a king. All right? This is the story. And so they want a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness? I say that all the time. Should I leave my fatness? Wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? Okay? And, well, I'll explain all this in a second. And the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, this would be a thorny bush, okay? Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. I'll explain all that in a second, okay? Verse 16. Now he's addressing Israel. Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you, and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, Let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo. And let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. Now, that wasn't a very nice message. He knows it because verse 21, and Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. So we're going to pray and we're going to get into our message. And it's this. It's the emptiness and the destruction of following our own way. The emptiness and destruction. You can go your own way. You can follow your own path. But when you do, just know this. Here's what you're going to find. Emptiness, destruction. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage of scripture. Help me as I explain it. Help us to follow you through the Christ name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. It's a very simple message, actually, tonight. I'll just remind you kind of what's happening here. Gideon, do you remember back when Gideon just defeated the Midianites with the 300 men? Right after that, do you remember Israel came to him and said, Gideon, we want you to rule over us. And remember, Gideon said, oh, no, I can't rule over you. Because he knew that was not God's plan. All right. And he did not, to his credit, did not allow them to make him king, although he acted like a king, didn't he? And because he acted like a king and he took to him wives and concubine, he created that ephod, and they worshiped the ephod in his stead, and he was cool with that. We're not going to re-preach all of that. But because he outwardly rejected the rule, but still acted like a king, from that, he had a child from a concubine. He shouldn't have had a concubine. He shouldn't have had more than one wife. Amen? That's confusing. That's scary. Don't want to think about it. But he had multiple wives and concubine, and from that, from going his own way, had this man, Abimelech. And now here's what's happened right before our passage. Abimelech shows up on the scene, and Abimelech wants to be king. Now, Abimelech is here because Gideon was acting like a king when he shouldn't have, and now this is coming to a head, and Abimelech is on the scene. He wants to be king. But Gideon has 70 sons. And Abimelech knows Israel wants a king. They tried to make Gideon a king. They would make his sons a king if they wanted to be. And so what I need to do is kill all of Gideon's sons and then set myself up as king. And that's exactly what he did. He went and he slew Gideon's sons. Gideon had 70 sons. One of them escaped. We don't know all the details of that. All we know is he got away. And his name was Jotham. So let me remind you, here's where we're at. Israel made Abimelech king because they wanted, listen to me, they wanted to be like the other nations. And they made Abimelech king. They'll do this again with Saul, but God's going to let them. This time they just took it all into their own hands and made Abimelech king. That was not God's plan, but they're doing their own thing. And remember I talked this morning about desperately wicked and deceptive above all things? Israel thinks right now, I know God says not to have a king, but I want it. Desperately wicked and deceptive. And they're saying, and it's going to be good. Every time we leave God's way and do our own thing, we always convince ourselves it's going to be good though. Nobody does wrong and says, I know this is going to mess everything up, so I'm going to do it. There's a part of us that deceives ourselves to say, going my way is going to be better than doing what God wants. So they set Abimelech up as king. Jotham escapes. Jotham, he's the one that escaped. He heard about them setting Abimelech up as king, and he addresses them about that. And he tells this story. Now, we already read it. I'll just recap it with you. He tells a story about the trees, remember? And the trees want a king. Kind of a funny way to put it. This is the way Jotham's a poetic man, okay? And he says, so imagine these trees want a king. And they go to the olive tree and say, olive tree, Be our king. Reign over us. Now, that doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? This isn't how this works. Trees don't talk. Trees don't reign over anybody. But so here's what the olive tree says. Why would I go be the king of the trees when I make oil? Right? He says, shall I leave my fatness? Right? Remember that? I create oil, olive tree does. And that's what God made olive trees to do. Right. Make oil. And that's awesome. God's plan for the olive tree is great. Leave it alone, olive tree says. Olive tree says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be the king. I'm going to go ahead and stay an olive tree and follow God's plan. And it's worked out. This is the best thing for me. I'm going to do that. So then they say, fine. Then we'll go to the fig tree, verse 11. And when they go to the fig tree, they say, reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit? Should I stop doing what God called me to do as a fig tree to produce this delicious fruit? Side note, Kara has fallen in love with figs. Random. She loves them. Anyway, she loves figs. But they're sweet and they're delicious. All right? And why make a bar out of them? Just eat them. They're really great. And so anyway, figs are awesome and they're delicious and they're sweet. And so the fig tree says, no, I'm not going to leave. Hey, I'm not going to leave what I was created and designed to do and making delicious figs to go rule over the tree. That doesn't even make any sense. All right? Are we following? Very interesting. All right. So then he goes to a vine. The trees do, I mean. And say, vine, you rule over us. Verse 13, and the vine said, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man? God gave me a purpose. I make grapes, and grapes make grape juice, and grape juice is awesome. I'm going to stick to what God created me to do, the vine said. And I'm not going to leave that and go rule over the trees. Now here's the point, verse 14. Then said all the trees unto the bramble. What's a bramble? Bramble's a nasty, thorny weed bush. It's useless. Okay? And these trees, for whatever reason, want a king tree. And they've gone to all of the trees that are worth anything, and they've rejected and saying, no, I'm going to keep doing what God made me to do. So they're left with this pathetic bramble. And these trees, so badly want a king that they're willing to ask the bramble to rule over them. Bramble really has one purpose, kindling. That's it. That's all bramble is for. Help make fires. Okay, so really worthless. Worthless. So it's willing then to be the king. Verse 15. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. Okay, so one other potential benefit of a bramble is it casts sort of a wimpy shadow. The sun hits it, and it blocks some sun, but it's not a tree. Like, what do trees do? Shade! You see the irony, how funny this is? And so the bramble says, trees, I will make the shade for you if you make me king. You can trust in my wimpy shadow. Give up your shade, what you were created to give humanity. Give up your purpose. I'll do your purpose, but I'm not going to do a very good job. Huh? And trust in my shadow, and I'll be king. When really, a bramble's purpose is not shade. A bramble's purpose is fire. And if it gives shade, it's pretty worthless shade. This is kind of a weird story, but I think you're starting to get it, aren't you? So he says in verse 15, if in truth you, and the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow, and if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Here's what Jotham is telling them, and he makes it clear, didn't he? You guys have wanted a king so bad. I want you to know you're not supposed to have a king. right? Israel, was, at this point, God's plan was not a king. But they wanted that. They were, listen, Israel's purpose was to be ruled by God. Israel's purpose was to have God as their king. America is doing pretty good because we kind of got rid of the king thing. Israel didn't have a king. They had God as their king. It was awesome. And their purpose was to glorify God that way. But they wanted to get rid of their purpose and do what they wanted. And in doing that, they couldn't get Gideon, even Gideon, to be their king. They couldn't get his sons to be their king. And so they went and they settled for a, can I say just dirtbag, Abimelech to be their king. And here's what Jotham says. And then we'll apply it to our life. We'll be done. Verse 19. Jotham tells them, you've rejected Gideon, who God used in your life. You rejected his sons and killed them. And now you've set Abimelech up as king. Verse 19. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house, then rejoice ye in Abimelech. If this is really what God wants, then just enjoy the shade he's talking about. Just enjoy his reign. But if not, verse 20, if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away. We'll see where that leads after. Here's what he's saying. He's like, you enjoy this little, dinky, empty shade for a season, Israel. Because it's not going to take long before Abimelech does his purpose, which is to devour you in fire. Pastor, what are you saying? God created you for a purpose. You're not a tree to follow, to make shade. He created you to make shade. You don't need a king over you, all right? What does that mean? I don't think anyone here is wanting a king, hopefully. But here's why they wanted a king. They wanted to be like the other nations. They didn't want to be like God said for them to be. They wanted to be like everybody else. But God has a purpose and a plan for you as his people to live a certain way. And when you do that, and when you accomplish his purposes for your life, there's joy, there's fulfillment, and everything is as it should be. But sometimes we want to be like others. We see our lost family enjoying their Sunday doing other things. Right? We see our lost friends and family, you know, drinking or doing other things or part. And you take this. I'm going to make this short. I'm going to trust that you can take this. But we all at times are tempted to live like the world because it looks like they're having a good time. And what we don't understand is that when we do that, we exchange the shade for a bramble bush. And at first we get a little bit of shade from the bramble bush. At first, when we go down that path, it seems like everything's going to be fine and good. See, I had shade with God, and I have shade with this bramble bush. And that preacher doesn't know what he's talking about, that church don't know what they're talking about. They just want to control your life and ruin your life. And so I'm going to do things my way. I got my bramble bush. And it provides a little bit of shade at first. But it doesn't take long before the bramble bush does what the bramble bush was created for by Satan himself, which is to destroy your life. And when you leave God's purpose for your life and follow your own way, there's really only two things you can expect. Empty, worthless, purposeless living, or fire, destruction. It's not going to be what you think. That's what Jotham was telling them. That's the message of Jotham. And that's the message to you. And you know, it sounds like such a mean, cruel message, but really it's a loving message. Don't settle for a bramble bush. God's purpose for you is already amazing. And Satan is so good at showing you what other people get to do. But you forget that they don't have what you have. They've never felt the fulfillment and the joy that comes from living the life God's created for you. They have Instagram and Facebook and whatever else is out there today to present a bramble bush that actually gives shade. And they say, come my way, trust in my shade. And they make the shade look good, but it's really not. When you get in person and you get to know them, you know that their life is full. Listen, America has never been more anxious, more angry, more depressed, more medicated, because life doesn't work without God. And life works abundantly above what we can ask or think when we're following God. Don't let Satan tempt you with a bramble bush. When you leave God, you're not getting an olive tree. You don't go from a tree to an olive tree. You don't go from a tree to a fig tree. You don't go from a tree to a vine. You go from a tree to a bramble bush. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it. We tell our teenagers that all the time. This is you take over. It's not worth it. And man, Satan is deceptive. We're already desperately wicked and deceptive above all things. And Satan's the great deceiver, and he's been doing this since the beginning of the time. And he is so good at making you think life outside of God is better and more fun and more freeing and happy. It's just not. It's just not. I've given this illustration before, but I'll just give it one more time, we'll be done. Remember the Venus flytrap? And they're really deceptive plants. And they're created to eat bugs. Okay? That's what they're made for. And the way they get a bug to go in their little, come on. Look at it. It looks, but for a bug, a Venus flytrap looks so beautiful, right? And colorful and fun, right? And it smells so good, And they're designed that way. And they start to, when you land on them, they don't close automatic. They let you just sit there and eat the sweet nectar. And then they start moving. And at that point, you're stuck. That little fly is trying to, nope. Right? And they entice you. Right? Satan never tells you about that part. He only tells you about how colorful it looks. He only tells you about how sweet it smells. He only tells you about how sweet the taste is. But he doesn't tell you about the destruction. He doesn't tell you about the guilt. He doesn't tell you about the shame. He doesn't tell you about the barriers that you have to jump over to get back to where you were before. He doesn't tell you about how empty and how destructive that life is. But God does. And he's doing that right now. And so just make a pact with yourself and with God and say, I'm going to stay a tree. I'm going to stay a tree. And I'm going to do what God made me for. And if you do what God made you for, you'll find fulfillment and joy as you can never, ever imagine. And don't let your mind wander to the bramble bush. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. And God, thank you, Lord, for creating us and giving us a purpose in this life to serve you and walk with you and talk with you and fellowship. And Lord, the joy and the fulfillment, and the peace that comes from following you. We don't deserve it. We're thankful. Help us not to be covetous of a life outside of you. Help us not to become discontent with what you've given us. But help us to
grasp and help us to really bask in what you've called us to be and just enjoy the life that you've given us. Lord, I pray for the teens that are in your youth. And God, this world is so deceptive, so good at marketing and showing them what looks like fun for a season. That will help them to see the truth, that life away from you and your word is only going to lead to what most Americans struggle with, emptiness, pain. Help us to follow you. That's my prayer. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. God, what's in your life, in your heart today? That's the time to respond. Thank you.